Young Turks, I'm having trouble with the tweeter thing again. Somebody wrote that we're hilarious, so thank you. But I don't know who you are and I can't read the rest of your tweet. Okay, member shout outs of the day are Chris Owens and Fraser Balch or Balk. Fraser and Chris, thank you so much. You guys make the show happen. TYTnetwork.com/join. Dave Kohler's got a post game for you guys today. I think he's talking to the reporters. That's what my notes tell me, which is kind of cool. We'll be doing that more and more as we go forward. And we had some great post games throughout the week in Aggressive Progressive and Old School. Get all that ad free if you're a member. And then this is the new shirt we've got. Yesterday I was wearing the black version. This is the brown version. Rosa Parks, the person who did the original Resist. So that's also on shoptyt.com. All right, Casper, nice purple dress there.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. What color is that? What do we call that technically?
I don't know. It looks purple on air, but it's pink in person, no? Pink?
Yeah, it's a click off from pink and a click off from purple, and
it's vibrant,
Jake,
just like my personality.
Matching, what is that, eyeshadow? That's the key to this whole thing. Is that what
Damn,
it is?
Mark is very detail oriented.
Wow.
I think that brings the whole thing together for me.
Okay.
Well, you know, I really think about these things.
Okay.
Love it.
All right.
Fascinating. All right. Forward.
Let's get to the news. All right. Equifax is facing a massive class action lawsuit following the announcement of a massive security breach, which indicates that hackers have accessed the personal data of over 143 million Americans. Now, Bloomberg has described this as an unprecedented hack. It compromised the private information of about 143 million people. Now, users alleged that Equifax was negligent in failing to protect consumer data, choosing to save money instead of spending on technical safeguards that could have stopped the attack. Data revealed included social security numbers, addresses, driver's license data, and birth dates. Some credit card information was also put at risk. I would argue that the credit card information is the last thing to worry about when you consider the fact that social security numbers are out there. And once someone has access to your social security number, especially people with ill intent, they can do some pretty terrible things with that information. Now, the fine people over at Equifax found out about this security breach back in July, and they have just announced it. But another thing to keep in mind is that this class action lawsuit is alleging that some of the executives over at Equifax had sold their stocks in days following the security breach to the tune of $1.7 million, I believe. And so, I wonder why they did that. They're saying that they didn't have knowledge about the hack prior to selling their stocks.
All right, so let's break this down. First of all, they're only suing for $70 billion. So this is as big a lawsuit as you'll find. It's about half the country that it affects.
Yeah.
So if all of our private information, I mean, look to the right of you, look to the left of you, one of you has had your information compromised. So probably us, not probably, almost certainly.
Sure.
And you guys, if you're watching.
So let me give you another twist to this story that should concern everyone. So Equifax and its lobbying arm has been fighting certain consumer protection rules.
Really?
And one of those rules has to do with class action lawsuits. And so if you were worried that you were implicated in the security breach and you went to Equifax's website where they allow you to search to see whether or not you're at risk, you should have read the fine print, because the fine print indicates that you are waiving your right to a class action lawsuit if you search your name in that database.
That's insane.
It is insane. And that is exactly why you need the Consumer Protection Bureau, which fights aggressively to prevent that type of behavior from happening. But under the Trump administration, things are likely to change. So these are all things that you should keep in mind. The Consumer Protection Bureau is there to protect you, the consumer.
Yeah, so often these situations that you agree to, terms and conditions, just in our routine taking on of apps or whatever else, they force arbitration instead of your real ability to sue. And what Anna's talking about is that in this case. So that's a they're forcing arbitration. That's in the terms and conditions of what Anna's talking about, where you look for your stuff and you make sure that you weren't part of this hack. And if you were, hey, we're going to provide you with our service free for a year, but you're going to agree that you'll just arbitrate this should there be any problem. And that then means that you can't be part of any class action suit in any kind of way to seriously pay off what is a huge piece of damage to your reputation, to your ability to conduct basic commerce in life, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, as you say, Anna, this is devastating for people.
It is devastating, especially considering, you know, the sensitivity of the data that these hackers have access to. It's likely to be sold on the dark web now, and it's going to cause all sorts of problems for, you know, hundreds of millions of Americans.
So luckily, it's not about sensitive information, though. No, they have everything. So this is as bad as it gets. Look, on the one hand, I want to give a little bit of context here. Look, people are, hacking is a hell of a thing, and it's really hard to keep track of. It's really hard to prevent, and so I have some sympathy for them in that regard. And then I have some sympathy in that they didn't announce it immediately, because you're going to have to take a lot of precautions, and you got to make sure that you've got everything straightened out before you let people know, and then the panic begins, right? So having said that, if you're a mom and pop shop, I mean, you got a restaurant and you took some credit card bills and some jerk hacked you, Jesus, you don't have enough money for security, I hear you. If you're Equifax and you have 143 million people's information, no, it's incumbent upon you to take tremendous precautions to make sure. I mean, that's the heart of your business. So you've got to take those precautions. Now, again, I don't begrudge them the taking the month to figure out how to announce this news. And in the case of the three executives who sold their stock after the company knew, but before the public knew, and made $1.7 million or sold $1.7 million worth of stock, well, let's give context there too. It could be that these executives are super rich, so you'd have to look at the period of time. Is it different than a normal 3-day period or a week or whenever they sold it off? Maybe they sell off $1.7 million all the time. Etc. But you should look into it.
Mm-hmm. And the SEC should,
yes,
and they will probably.
Yeah, and if you look into it and you find out, no, it is not at all normal, and all of a sudden, right after they found out about the hack, these three executives who knew sold $1.7 million of stock with insider knowledge that they have that the public didn't know, and it is not within any range of normal, they should go to prison.
Yeah,
unlike, that's how it goes.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to go. But we know how it really goes.
Okay, then do we have a government anymore? I mean, that's what the right wing says that. Like, oh, we should rule of law. We don't have a government anymore. We don't have a country anymore. Well, if white collar criminals can commit fraud and criminal acts anytime they want, well, then what we're saying is we're not a democracy anymore. The law only applies to the middle class and the poor, but the rich can do whatever they want. And it's gross. So again, they have to investigate it. I'm not saying by definition it is. But if they found out that it is insider information, they should definitely go to jail. And then lastly, Anna's right. The most egregious part of this is the part where they have you sign away your rights. I mean, think about it. Okay, we screwed up Equifax. And so all of your private information is out there, and it could cause you tremendous damage. So in order for you to figure out how to fix the damage, you come to our site, and then I tricked you. You came to our site, you just signed away your rights to sue us. No, that's not remotely acceptable. So I don't know if the government will ever protect the average American, or all they do is protect the rich and the multinational corporations, but we're gonna find out. We're gonna find out what happens here with Equifax. Because if they are allowed to just say, we screwed you over, you have to come over and look to see if you got screwed over, tricked you, now you won't be able to sue us, and the government doesn't do anything about that, then we're not a democracy, and we've lost everything, and we're just ruled by a new set of lords and royalty that are now are playing with our lives.
Yeah. All right, moving on to some other news. A new survey indicates that white Christians are, for the first time, a minority in the United States. Well, first time since whites came and basically did their colonial thing. But anyway, let's move
on. And wiped out everyone else.
And wiped out everyone else, exactly. Now, the survey that was done by Public Religion Institute actually talked to over 100,000 people in the US, and the whole point was to find out whether or not there are differences in religious leanings and what the minorities and majorities are in regard to religious affiliation. Here's what they found. White Christians, once predominant in the country's religious life, now comprise only 43% of the population. Just to give you an example of what that population used to be like, 4 decades ago, about 8 in 10 Americans were white Christians.
Wow, that is half. It used to be 80%, now it's 43%. Mm-hmm. That is a giant difference in 4 decades. And that is, by the way, exactly why we're seeing the overreaction from the right wing that we are today. They're in a panic. Oh my God, our time is almost up. We used to rule everything, and soon everybody will be equal. Ah! And so that is mainly in the white evangelical conservative Christians politically. It's of course does not apply to all white Christians in the country, but the demographics are a huge swing. There's more information.
Right. So first, let's explain why we're seeing this drop in the number of white Christians. First of all, keep in mind that the percentage of people living in the United States who identify as Christians is still high. It's around 70%. However, when it comes to white Christians, we're seeing these drops in membership in predominantly white mainland Protestant denominations, such as Presbyterians and Lutherans. Also, there's an increasing Latino presence in the Roman Catholic Church as some non-Hispanic white Catholics leave, and also shrinking ranks of white evangelicals, which, as Cenk has mentioned on the show before, is really bad for Trump, especially because he relies pretty heavily on that vote, right?
Yeah. Look, the fact that there's more Latino religious people in the country and less white, it does, that is, to me, is irrelevant. God bless either way. Mm-hmm. Appropriate, I suppose. Yeah. Right? So the racial component of this is uninteresting, except for how it affects politics. And so, and Latinos are not uniformly voting Democratic. They're, you know, they're a little bit more split than, for example, African Americans. But white evangelical voters are voting as a bloc. Mm-hmm. 80% of them voted for Donald Trump. And they had a voter turnout of 85%, which is unheard of. Now, given that they are a shrinking part of the population, and we'll get more numbers for that for you in a second too, it is not sustainable. You cannot, even if, by the way, even if 85% showed up and voted again, and 80% of them voted for Donald Trump in 2020, he still wouldn't win. Unless Hillary ran again. But even in that scenario, even if Hillary runs again, like the worst of the worst candidate, mm-hmm. he'll probably still lose based on demographic shifts.
Yes. Now, let's also talk about the emergence of those who do not identify as religious. It's an increasing share of Americans, and according to this survey, it's about 1/4 who don't identify with a faith group. So these are, of course, agnostics and atheists. Now, when you go back to the evangelical population in the US, you can see how significantly it's shrinking. 17% of Americans now identify as white evangelical, compared to 23% a decade ago. So actually, that's not really a rapid decline, but it's still a decline.
No.
That's 10 years.
No,
that's a long
but
time.
Anna, these numbers didn't move forever. Mm-hmm. And so now they're moving faster and faster. Going from 17% of the population, or 23 to 17, is a giant. I mean, you've lost 6 out of 23 points that you had. That is enormous. As I look at these numbers, I think, na, 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 na. So look, the racial component of it, I don't care about at all. I don't care if they're white evangelicals or purple evangelicals. I care about two things. One is the political atmosphere, because the way that conservative white evangelical voters have voted is
disastrous.
In our opinion, disastrous. And basically, it has been, they've had a privilege in this country for a long, long time. And this is their last desperate gasp to protect special privileges. I celebrate that we are all going to be equal. We don't think like conservatives. Don't worry, conservatives. We're not going to take your rights away. We're not going to make you less than. We're not going to say, hey, because straights, for example, in this country had way more privileges than gay Americans, and gay Americans didn't have certain rights. Ha ha, now that we generally, meaning progressives, are in the majority, will now take your rights away from straights. No, of course not, right?
I mean, I don't know. I would really like to start banning Christians from coming into the country from predominantly Christian countries until we figure out what the hell's going on.
We gotta figure out what the hell's going on.
We need to figure out what the hell's going on.
Right.
But Cenk's saying is so right on, though, because it is, look, the legislative agendas that come forward as a result of Christian dominance, white Christian dominance in the past, they've been brutal. I mean, we're talking about the abridgment of civil rights, women's right to choose. I mean, these are things that really have a serious day-to-day impact on people. So these demographic shifts, they play out legislatively, and that's really what you care about, right? You care about these laws that are made based on Christian tenets, and they pull whatever Bible verse they want to justify whatever legislative agenda they have. That's the real danger, and that's why this is so very significant, I think.
Yeah, to complete that thought, which is one last thing about it. Look, these are facts of things that happened, and that happened today. So there was Jim Crow, and let alone slavery. But in Jim Crow, blacks didn't have the same rights as whites. So they had different fountains, and they weren't allowed to vote, and they had to pay a poll tax, etc. And don't worry, white evangelical conservatives, blacks are not going to do that to you. There's not going to be a Jim Crow white laws. Like, oh, from now on, oh, these goddamn whites, don't let them in the pool, right? Or, you know, they don't get the same voting rights. No, today there's voter ID laws to make sure that African Americans don't vote at the same rate as whites. They have more polls open in the white areas of town, Christian evangelical areas of town, richer areas of town, and less in the poorer or student areas of town where it's more likely to vote Democratic. Look, I hope to God Democrats, when things are equal, okay, don't do likewise, because we're not in favor of discrimination. That's not what we're in favor of. And so there's not going to be, look, I've said in the past that Democrats should strike back on voter ID laws so we can get to balance. But no one in reality who's a progressive thinks that, no, let's not be equal. Let's be above them, whatever who them is. It's just not, that's against the tenets of progressivism. So, and that's part of their panic. But look, the other thing is, putting all that stuff aside, the real reason I celebrate these numbers is, did you hear that? That is 1/4 of Americans now who don't identify with a faith group. Now, by the way, some of those could be spiritual people, but they just have let go of religion. So they might be, I think there's a higher power. I think I believe in this and I believe in that, but I don't believe in a text from 2,500 years ago written by a guy who didn't know a goddamn thing, kind of literally. So what did I tell you guys? I mean, we started this show a long time ago, 15 years ago, and I've been saying from day one, the people who are against the religion, which includes me, we're gonna win, the other side is gonna lose. And I wrote a scathing article about religion back in 2005. And I said, look, it's a frothing sea of insanity, okay? And we're the island and they're the ocean, but we're gonna turn it around. And we're in the middle of turning it around. Even just when I wrote that article in 2005, if you had said 25% of Americans wouldn't believe in organized religion in the year 2017, they would have said, you're crazy. They did say you're crazy, they said I'm crazy. They said there's no way you're gonna wipe out religion in the short term. Well, we're in the middle of doing it. And so I know why religious people or fundamentalist people flip out. They're like, oh, it's a culture war, they're coming for us. Well, you know, other liberals might run from that. I don't, yes. We are coming for the idea that a sky god should rule us when we have no freaking idea what the sky god thinks. Partly because he doesn't exist. So no, we should rule based on secular law and logic. And the fact that that side is winning is awesome news. It's great news. So, and if you don't like that, sad day for you, because all you're gonna do from here on out is lose. Because there's a thing called the internet. What it does is it provides you information and knowledge. So your kids are going to look up things and go, oh, virginal births don't seem to happen that often. Guys walking on water with no evidence that they actually did 2,000 years ago. Or a guy going on top of a mountain and telling him that Allah talked to him and came back and, well, you look at that, Allah said I should get all the chicks, right? Your kids aren't going to believe that because that's nonsense. So you can hate the messenger all you want, but the proof's in the pudding and it's in the numbers. Na 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 na.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Kid Rock doing Kid Rock things.
All right, back on the Young Turks, Matt Brownfield writes in, the worst thing someone could do stealing my credit is making it better.
Just when you think you've hit rock bottom with your credit, though, someone else can screw it up even more. Yeah. I mean, keep it real.
As we've learned with Donald Trump, there is no bottom. Mm-hmm. El Principe Chistón writes in.
There's no way you pronounce that right.
Of course not.
Really sold it, though.
GOP complains that we don't have government anymore when they've been the ones chipping away at it for the past half century. That's exactly right. And that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they did that on purpose. As Grover Norquist said, we want to shrink government down this to a size where we could drown it in a bathtub. And they just drowned it in Houston, and they're about to drown it in Florida.
And just because you mentioned that, I think it's so appropriate, given what we're dealing with as a nation with these disasters, you talk about government. By cutting back government, you cut back the ability of the country to help those who need the help. But more to the point, maybe in some of the stuff we talk about on TYT, down in Houston, as Cenk says, all those companies that want to privatize their profit, they want to socialize the bailout, right?
Yep.
The damages to those companies and their associated holdings down there in the flood-ravaged Texas area. It'll happen in Florida, too. They want help from the government, and they will get government relief. They'll get tax breaks and other forms of government relief. But their profits? No, no, no. They want tax breaks, and they want huge remedies for environmental regulations, which are really protections to the public. So they privatize the profit, but they socialize the risk. It's insane, and we're seeing it played out a lot now with these natural disasters.
Yep.
I wanted to add one other quick thing to this whole hurricane discussion.
Go.
First of all, I mean, I think most people notice that the country has completely united in efforts to provide relief to those who have been victims of the hurricane and the flooding, and that's the right way to handle the situation. But I think that as Americans, we should be just as united when it comes to helping people who are impoverished because of an unexpected medical emergency, people who have lost everything because they got sick and they couldn't afford the healthcare coverage that they needed. You know what I mean? Like, when it's a natural disaster of epic proportions, everyone's like, oh my God, we gotta band together as Americans and help our fellow, you know, citizens or whatever it is. But when it comes to anything else, people who are dealing with terrible economic conditions, the country's completely divided.
Yeah, you're saying that there are personal devastations of the sort that we're seeing on a mass scale every day in different people's lives.
Right.
And there have to be mechanisms to help those people out.
Exactly.
I agree. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to add one super last thing. I think, as I've been saying for a while, a progressive champion is going to rise. And 2020, we're going to wash these guys out. Because the demographic shifts we were just talking about. And finally, somebody's going to come up and say these things. And Bernie said it. And he rose up tremendously. Maybe it'll just be Bernie, but maybe it'll be someone else or a number of people. But once people go, yeah, wait a minute, why am I getting steamrolled here day in, day out? How about I vote for the guy who's anti-steamrolling, right? That's, I think that is going to catch on like wildfire, and people are going to be like, why didn't anybody think of that before?
Yeah, but it has to be not only that, it has to be the message as well as what you're talking about, Cenk, right? I mean, you're talking about a policy, and you're talking about people becoming all of a sudden awakening to the fact that they're getting jobbed, which I agree. But they have to find, that is to say the progressive side, a candidate that communicates well enough to get that message across that I'm the guy who's, or when I say guy, I mean it generically, I'm the person who's not going to job you the way the rest of these a-holes have.
Yeah.
And then a super quick prediction that I said off air a second ago, a female prophet will rise with a female-based religion soon. That's all. Go.
Okay. Prepare to be saved.
Okay.
Ish.
All right. Kid Rock was recently performing in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and his show got oddly political. Now, if you can recall, he said that he was planning on running for office, possibly Senate in the near future. And so it's not surprising that he wants to chime in on politics. He just did so in a fascinating way. So we have a short video that was posted on Instagram to share with you guys, and then I'll fill in the blanks. Take a look.
Now, PC see and think you have to remind me that Black Lives Matter. Nazis, fucking bigots, and now again the KKK says, screw all you assholes, stay the fuck away. It's no secret we're divided, and we all should take some blame. We should be ashamed that we all seem scared to call him by his name. So please, Almighty Jesus, if you're looking down tonight, please guide us with your wisdom and give us strength to fight. To fight the tyrant evils that lurk here and abroad. And remind us all, we are still just one nation under God. Now let's get down to brass tacks before I hit you with this phone. I get it right. Hillary Clinton lost.
Okay. So, in case you missed some of that, he did reference Colin Kaepernick at one point during the concert saying, and if you want to take a knee or sit during our Star Spangled Banner, call me a racist because I'm not politically correct. And think you have to remind me that Black Lives Matter.
So he went on to, as you saw in the video, then to reference the Nazis and the bigots and the KKK in a negative light.
And condemn them as well.
And he said, I screw all you assholes, stay the fuck away. Meaning both the Kaepernicks of the world and the people that have to remind us that Black Lives Matter and the KKK. So I'm glad he included the KKK, so that's one step better than Donald Trump. Okay, but basically putting Black Lives Matter and Kaepernick in the same category as Nazis and bigots is a piece of shit move by Kid Rock. So look, it is a populist move, I get it. A lot of people in this country are in that frame of mind, hey man, I'm not for the Nazis, I'm not KKK, that's bullshit. Yeah, fuck them. But you know, those guys who say that black lives should matter, fuck them too. Okay, and I know what they think, and that's why Kid Rock is doing this to get popular, which is to like, no, I'm not racist, I know Black Lives Matter, you don't have to remind me, as he said, right? But apparently we do, because we keep showing you the stats where the cops arrest blacks at disproportionate rates, they shoot unarmed blacks at disproportionate rates, and then you go, yeah, whatever man, whatever, don't, if you try to change it, then I'm gonna get offended. Well, okay, if you don't wanna change a system that has a racial impact in the country, then I don't know what you want me to call you. And I think Colin Kaepernick is an American hero for costing himself millions of dollars based on a principle and doing freedom of speech to, he didn't, look, he's unlikely to be affected by any of this. He's famous, he's rich, he's a celebrity. He did it to help other African Americans in the country. I think that's awesome. So if Kid Rock thinks it's cool to go, oh yeah, to him, then fuck Kid Rock.
Yeah, so it's really funny because that phrase politically correct gets tossed around a lot by conservatives. To be fair, I don't really know what Kid Rock's political identity is. Like, is he a Republican? Is he a conservative Republican? I have no idea. Honestly, I don't really care.
Neither does
he. He doesn't know either.
Right, exactly. But the thing that I wanted to mention was how he said, you know, he basically criticized Colin Kaepernick and said, I'm not politically correct, so if you want to call me racist, call me racist. Like, that was what he implied, right? But you're asking Colin Kaepernick to follow along with what you consider politically correct. You consider it politically correct to stand during the Star Spangled Banner or during the national anthem.
That's a great point.
Right? And so, first of all, it is his First Amendment right to protest, and that is the peaceful form of protest that Colin Kaepernick chose to take. And you are again asking him to be politically correct by doing what you think is the moral thing to do. And that's just, and by the way, I mean, you want to talk about moral. You want to talk about moral, okay? Just stop. Like, I just, yeah.
No,
I'm
but
tired
that's
of it.
That was actually my favorite part. Kid Rock's like, yeah, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Jesus, yeah. I'm sure that's what Jesus was in favor of, right? He came to the temple and before he threw out the money changers, he's like, right? And Jesus loved America. That's why he showed Jesus and the American flags. Oh, right, America didn't exist at the time. Anyway, these are thoughts that are a tiny bit above Kid Rock's head. But you know what? It might work, though.
Exactly. He grabs iconic symbolism. He matches it with big time dynamic theater And what do you end up with? You end up with something that is similar, not so different than Trump. I understand Trump has a different style, but it's a cult of personality. It's a plain speak. It's making fun of the political correctness. Now you throw in a rock star element and a dash of that as Cenk says. I mean, that's exactly right. It was theater. And people are responsive to this. They don't even really care about his politics. You know, when Anna asks, you know, is he a right-wing conservative? He doesn't know. I mean, he realizes how easy it is now. I think he realizes, wow, this political door is farther open than I thought it was. I don't really have to know jack shit about things. I just have to make fun of these people and make fun of those people and throw in an and I'm in.
Yeah, well, look, I'll go further. In fact, in this concert, he said, you know, people are talking about Kid Rock for Senate. I'm talking about Kid Rock for president, right? Great, that ought to be awesome. And he's like, and if you don't like it, but your president is Donald motherfucking Trump. So, but people like the blah. So, okay. Now, you know what happened? A group said, look, you're in violation of campaign finance laws because you can't run for Senate and do X, Y, and Z. He sells merchandise, Kid Rock for Senate or whatever, right? And you can't do that. And Kid Rock responded with, yeah, fuck off.
Cool.
Okay, yeah. That's so cool and hip, and people maybe they like that because it seems brazen and all that stuff. But if we've created a culture where if someone says you broke the law and you go, oh yeah, fuck off, and you get away with it, that's not rule of law. That's kind of the opposite of rule of law.
Yeah, I mean, we're creating that culture right now as we speak. You know, the president is not supposed to have conflicts of interest. He has conflicts of interest. He has used his position as the commander in chief to profit off, you know, meetings at Mar-a-Lago or his businesses like Trump Tower. I mean, who cares? Who cares? I mean, we've reported on that over and over and over again, provided many examples as to why those conflicts of interest go against the best interests of the American people. But his supporters don't care. His base doesn't care. They've emboldened that type of unlawful behavior. And so he's going to continue doing it. So you create that culture and you sit there as a Republican and you bask in it, thinking that it's great. Wait until a liberal Democrat gets elected into office. Let's see how you feel about the precedent that you just set.
Okay, and look, I think part of the problem with some liberals is that they look at Kid Rock doing all this stuff and they go, oh, that's not right, he shouldn't be doing that. I'm not in that camp. So Kid Rock, you wanna play? We can play, right? Kids to play. Fuck you too, Kid Rock, and you can suck my dick, okay?
Oh, wow.
How do you like them apples? And you are a piece of shit who doesn't understand this country at all. And you want to get into politics? Welcome to the fucking jungle, dickhead. We'll make sure that you fucking get annihilated. How do you like them apples?
Wow.
Okay.
I didn't see that wow. coming. Okay. That was pretty aggro. Right.
Okay. I mean, look, yeah. You're the only one who's allowed to say words. Oh, wow. Too. Okay.
All right. I want to fit in one more story before we end the show because it's amazing. All right. Researchers have developed a form of AI that can identify individuals who are gay or straight. This is insane. Now, the researchers, Dr. Michal Kozinski and Yulin Wang, are planning on publishing this work in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology. And here's what they did. When the scientists presented the algorithm with five facial images of a single person, the accuracy increased to 91% for men and 83% for women, meaning the accuracy of identifying their sexual orientation increased, right? Now, that's when they took one person and provided five different pictures of that person. However, if they didn't do that, they just relied on one image of one person, here's what they found. Let's go to this graphic. The AI can distinguish between the face of a heterosexual man and a homosexual man 81% of cases. For women, the predictive accuracy is 71%. And so they're saying that, you know, there are certain physical traits that gay men have, either because of biology, but also because of the way that they style themselves and stuff, that makes it possible for the AI to identify what their sexual orientation is.
This story is amazing for a number of reasons. Mm-hmm. So first off, their accuracy is stunning. On one picture alone, 81% of the time, they got it right. You give them five pictures, they know. Okay. This is my mom says about my daughter.
But to she be fair, knows. One of the pictures is of two people having gay sex. So it does.
Right. You're one of those.
You gotta
see this
that
AI
out.
That we developed? Like, yeah. Amazing. No.
The artificial intelligence is like, they are having gay sex. They must be gay. All right. No, it's just five pictures, random, presumably random pictures of people. Now, look, some of it is understandable. It is programmed to see things that you can change, like your hairstyle. And so short hair on a woman might, I'm not saying anything, I don't know if this is in the programming.
Let's not get into specifics.
Okay, might lead in a certain direction, right, and not in the other direction, okay? But, and this is the scary part, it also looks at, for men, the facial femininity of each image.
Yeah.
So if your face is more feminine, you are actually, it turns out, more likely to be gay. It even measures your nose, which then scared me. I mean, it just literally sent a chill down my spine. So it got a little serious there, because that is the eugenics that led to the horrible things that happened in the Holocaust, etc. But and it was not true in terms of different races or religions. But apparently there is some truth in it when it comes to sexual orientation, which is amazing. And whether we think that's wrong or not wrong, meaning ethically or morally, factually there's basis for it. And so I don't know what you do with that fact.
Right. So the researchers here were just trying to prove that with the advancement of artificial intelligence, there is potential for abuse, which is something that we already knew. And so if you are living in a place where there is, you know, severe discrimination or persecution of the LGBT community, this type of advancement would be problematic. And so they're making a political statement with the research that they've done. And to Cenk's point, I wanna kind of lay it out for you guys in a more detailed way, so you know what the researchers are talking about in regard to the femininity of some of the subjects studied. They found that advanced computer analysis compared different facial characteristics and found that gay men and women tended to have gender atypical features. So fixed features such as the shape of one's nose or jaw, and transient features such as hairstyle and facial hair.
Yeah, so look, one way you can tell if someone is gay is if they don't want the picture taken. That's from old stereotypes, right? Like, oh, this picture can tell if you're gay. Well, I'm not taking that picture, right? So there's a lighter side of it, and that's from the old days. Nobody cares. I hope no one cares. Unfortunately, a lot of people do care. We don't care. But
they do that. I mean, the whole thing, because I was wondering, gee, this is weird. Why? What's the philosophy behind this? And I mean, as Anna says, it's supposedly to protect you or to show you how digital technology can be used against you, I suppose.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, some ancient traditions thought that a picture could capture your soul.
Right, and I think the Native Americans had that.
Yeah, and in some ways it has captured who you are in this new world. But we gotta make sure, obviously, that it's not used for the wrong purposes. All right, we're out of time, guys. Much love.
Bye-bye.